Did you know the Bible contains wardrobe advice? Perhaps you can think about this next time you stand staring into your closet, hoping to be motivated by something that you find in there. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In this last month, we've seen lots of special seasonal clothing, people out and about decked in their holiday finest, women with large wreaths or candy canes hanging from their ears, men in their special red suspenders or green neckties, partygoers in plaid or velvet, friends of all shapes and sizes sporting Christmas graphics and sparkle in their sweaters, sweatshirts, t-shirts, and pajamas. The best, the most impressive, I should say, outfit that I saw this past month included a sort of, it was like a Santa Claus hat, but it was green, and it had the capability of flopping itself back and forth on the wearer's head while these lights around the rim flashed off and on and off and on. I saw this person wearing this hat actually in a theater just prior to the beginning of the show. She stood up and this hat was flopping and the lights were flashing, and she turned around and she sang, "Have a Holly Jolly Christmas." And I thought, well, this must be someone from the cast who's kind of getting us into the spirit or leading us into this theatrical experience. But no, this was an audience member who just was really excited about her hat and her outfit and the spirit of Christmas. It's fun to dress for the holidays. Our outfits can help us feel festive and generous, as if we're making a contribution to the general goodwill and the spirit of joy of the season. Our special clothing items are a visible reminder to ourselves and to others that we're experiencing a special time. Sometimes our clothing can even help us emote Christmas cheer, although truth be told, we might not actually be feeling especially cheerful. All of which can help us begin to appreciate why Paul used this metaphor of clothing to describe the Christian life. What we put on sets the tone for where we go and what we do. If we put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, then we're helped to actually be patient, kind, compassionate, humble, and peaceable. If we put on love, we send a message of what we value and who we serve. As we wear the garments of a follower of Jesus, we experience and proclaim that we belong to God, and we invite others to consider God's role in their lives. Paul's description in this passage of true Christian community sounds very appealing. It's filled with forgiveness, harmony, and gratitude. It also seems a little bit unattainable. After all, in spite of our best intentions and our great outfits, most of us probably had moments in this past month of feeling angry with the other drivers in the parking lot, frustrated by our own family members, resentful of our boss or our coworkers, and exhausted by our encounters with so-called customer service. If we cannot manifest perfect peace and harmony at Christmas time, what hope do we have for the rest of the year? The answer is, I think, that it takes a long time to learn to wear compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love. If we give ourselves only a month, the clothes might still be stiff and scratchy. For Christian virtues to become the kind of comfortable, well-worn clothing that fits us perfectly and that we look forward to putting on, we have to give ourselves more than a month. One day or 1 month is not enough to make forgiveness our second skin and obedience to Christ our favorite habit. Love will have to be put on every day, all year, for as many years as it takes for us to both look good wearing it and feel truly at home in it. We're going to have to invite the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts over and over and over again before we're able to consistently and sincerely be at peace and bring forth peace. As part of an environmental education program at an alternative high school in San Francisco, a young man named Fernando had the opportunity to leave the city and go camping in the wilderness for the very first time. After a day of learning about tides and discussing powerful influences on one's life choices, the kids set up their tents and settled in for an evening around the campfire. Fernando arrived for dinner at the picnic table in the middle of the coastal redwood forest, wearing large red satin shorts, boxing trunk kind of things, a white sleeveless undershirt, a big gold cross, a beach towel tied around his neck like a cape, and his house slippers. Whether this outfit was originally meant as a fashion statement, an act of defiance, an attempt to remain within his comfort zone, or simple comic relief is uncertain. What is known is that Fernando began, as he began to open up to his teachers and to his classmates, as he engaged in these opportunities being presented to him for learning, as he immersed himself in strange and unfamiliar environments, the beach towel cape became his standard uniform. Hiking through the desert on a subsequent camping trip, Fernando was described as a sort of a cross between Lawrence of Arabia and Superman. But apparently putting on this outfit helped Fernando say to himself and to others, "I'm ready to meet the challenges. I'm ready to give my best. I'm ready to grow through whatever I am being offered." It may have looked unusual, but it became a symbol for increasing confidence, growing maturity, and growing ability in this strange new context. Wearing Christmas clothing all year long may be perceived as similarly unusual by a society caught up with the need to acquire, accumulate, and get ahead. Compassion, kindness, meekness, humility, and patience are not necessarily valued in the workplace or in the marketplace. Others may or may not appreciate our attempts to live, love, harmony and peace as the guiding principles in every situation. If we put on the clothing as Paul instructs us to, we may need to be prepared to no longer fit in with mainstream values and priorities. Charles Fiske was one person who had to face a difficult choice when he realized he no longer wanted to wear what all the people around him were wearing. Charles Fiske was actually a brilliant young physicist, and he had been invited to work on the Los Alamos project. He was the one who invented the electrical device that detonated the first atomic bomb. His work was intellectually challenging. It was greatly valued by his peers and his country's government. But somewhere along the line, Charles began to be troubled by the chain of consequences between the research and the results. He realized he didn't want to feel responsible for death on a massive scale. Without implying any disrespect for the commitments of his fellow scientists, Charles decided to resign his position. His talent and abilities as a physicist, however, did not ultimately go to waste. Fisk began to pursue an interest in music and ultimately became an organ builder. It took several years of apprenticeship and study, but he achieved master status, founding his own company and designing, constructing, and installing dozens of pipe organs all over the country, many of which are recognized as among the finest of their kind. Charles was happy to have found work and purpose consistent with his values. One of the things about organs, he is reported to have said, is that although some people may occasionally be bored by a specific piece of organ music, they will never be harmed by it. Charles Fisk wanted to serve life unambiguously, and he found that he had to change clothes in order to do so, taking off his old work and putting on a new calling. Just as for most of us, what we wear, our clothing, is extremely personal. So also, when we begin to try to practice Jesus' way of forgiveness and love, we sometimes find ourselves needing to make very personal decisions about work and lifestyle. Paul's vision in this letter to the Colossians is that our community of fellow believers would be helpful to us in our decisions. Not that we mandate certain kinds of expectations on each other, but that we have a community in which we can discuss these things. We can reflect together on the scripture or on our sense of how God might be calling us. We can learn from one another. And whatever our decisions are, Paul says, we do understand that everything we do, we need to be able to say, we're doing in the name of Jesus. Our life, our daily life, is not meant to be separate from our faith. The clothing of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience is Monday through Friday clothing, not just Saturday clothing, or not just Sunday best. We wear it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're still wearing it on Sunday when we come here to church. Love's a year-round garment, not just an occasional Christmas outfit. A certain college chaplain was startled one day to find himself on the telephone with a very irate parent. "My daughter is graduating with a degree in civil engineering," exclaimed the father, "and now I find out she wants to go to Haiti as a missionary. Something about serving poor people. Look what you've done, delaying or derailing a promising career for something like this." "What I've done," responded the campus pastor. "Let me ask you a few questions. Did you, by chance, have your daughter baptized as an infant?" "Well, yes," admitted the father. "Did you take her to Sunday school and church each week as she was growing up?" "Yes, I did," said the father. "Did you encourage her to participate in youth fellowship and service projects and to attend summer camp as a teenager?" "Yes," said the father. "Well then," concluded the chaplain, "with all due respect, I think you are the one, not me, who is responsible for her decision to go as a missionary with engineering skills to Haiti." Long silence. "I guess I just thought of us as good United Methodists," reflected the now subdued father. "Well, apparently you overdid it," said the chaplain. "Your daughter seems to have become a disciple of Jesus Christ." Having become a disciple, this young woman realized that she wanted to wear Christmas clothes all year, not just at Christmas. She wanted to serve Christ with all of her time and talent in a way that seemed wholehearted, not carefully measured. Michaela Bruzzese warns that after Christmas, some of us may be tempted to set our spiritual lives on cruise control until Easter. But this passage from Colossians insists, she says, that we prepare ourselves to actually live with Jesus, not just wait for Jesus. She encourages us to take these words about clothing ourselves with love, keeping Christ's teaching, and proclaiming our gratitude. She should suggest that we take these words as our homework assignment. Her thought is that we could achieve even half of what Paul advises. We could help the peace of Christ to pervade not just our own hearts, but the whole world. What we are asked to do is not more than has already been done for us. Christ Jesus, after all, took off divine raiment and put on human form and wore compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience for 33 years for our sake, so that we might be assured of God's love for us and learn how to fully live the life that God has given us with purpose and hope. God's word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. Once we've accepted this amazing gift, our old clothes no longer seem quite sufficient or right. We want to put on the new garments of love and peace and forgiveness and gratitude. We want to be a community that encourages and sustains each other. We want to do something good and beautiful for the world. This yearning that we have to wear Christmas clothes and thus know Christmas joy all year is a seed planted within us by God. We pray now that God would cause that seed to grow and blossom and flower. We pray that God would give us faith to pursue our plans and dreams, that God would give us the will to dress each day in the radiance of Christ. Holy God, the bright red adornment of the poinsettia flowers remind us today of the saints around us and the saints gone before us who teach and inspire us to live as your people. Christmas worship calls us to consider the clothes you wore at your birth, Lord, swaddling clothes, which marked you as human, vulnerable, and small. We remember all those in this season who are wearing clothes of mourning, praying that in their grief they may find comfort in you. We remember those who are wearing the uniform of their country, putting themselves in danger that others may be safe. Bless and keep them through these troubled times. We remember those who have no clothing at all, robbed by poverty or disaster of even the most basic of provision and protection. Stir us, O God, to respond to their needs quickly with thoughtfulness and love. We want to live as Christ lived, bringing mercy and grace and hope to those we meet. May our actions be reflective of Christ's light. May compassion, kindness, humility, and patience become our second skin. We pray now the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.